Thank you for downloading this audio podcast from the Vocalise London Beyond Sight project.
My name is Michael Elwin. I'm an actor and occasional director, and I've been in this business since 1964. I have a close family connection with St Martin in the Fields through my mother's brother, Eric Loveday, who was the much-respected vicar here between 1941 and 1947. Even as a small boy, I was aware that Uncle Eric had an important position. He was vicar to the Prime Minister and the Royal Family, as both 10 Downing Street and Buckingham Palace lie within the parish boundaries. Sadly, I only knew him for a short time because of his early death in Australia while on a preaching tour after the war. There's a memorial to him in St Paul's Cathedral, Melbourne, where he preached his last sermon. St Martin stands on the northeast corner of Trafalgar Square. There's been a church on this site since the 13th century, and as the name suggests, it was originally surrounded by fields. The present building dates from 1726 and was designed by James Gibbs, an architect much influenced by Sir Christopher Wren. There are lots of imposing buildings surrounding the square, but St Martin stands out with its tall spire and its grand exterior, particularly as it's recently been cleaned and restored. A wide flight of stone steps leads up from the pavement to the high stone-flagged porch. The triangular pediment of the porch is supported by 8 massive stone columns, and standing just inside the porch is a modern sculpture in Portland stone designed by Mike Chapman to mark the millennium. You can stand on a step and touch the naked newborn child, still attached with an umbilical cord, to the block of stone from which he's been carved. The words running around the stone are from St John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word. Inside, the church is a bright, calm space after the bustle outside. As part of the refurbishment, it's been redecorated in pale cream with discreet touches of gold. There's a central aisle, and others on either side, below a gallery which runs along both sides of the nave. Between the aisles are rows of dark oak pews, and towards the front on the left is a tall 18th century wooden pulpit, its 6 panels carved with cherubs and shells. The ceiling is barrel-shaped and decorated with intricate plasterwork. There are 2 rows of chandeliers, but during some of the concerts that take place here in the evenings, the church glows with a soft light from hundreds of candles. In the daytime, though, the space is flooded with light through the tall arched windows at ground and first floor level. On the ceiling of the sanctuary is a dazzling golden sunburst representing God, and a coat of arms with a globe, a golden lion, and a white unicorn. The royal coat of arms of King George I, who was the first church warden. To right and left of the sanctuary are 2 doors which lead up to rooms with small paned windows overlooking the altar. The room on the right was set aside for the First Lord of the Admiralty, that on the left reserved for the royal family. The triple window at the far end is of plain etched glass within a steel web of vertical and horizontal black stripes. A third of the way down, the web is stretched out of shape by an oval section resembling a hole, a controversial design. It looks to some as if a stone has been cast through the glass. Others can see a cross in the design, the oval being perhaps the shape of a head inclined to one side. The window is intended to inspire reflection and prayer and was designed in 2006 by the Iranian artist Shirazeh Hushiari and the architect Pip Horn. St Martin's has been described as an interfaith church, a place of welcome for believers, doubters, and those who are seeking. Its patron saint is St Martin, who showed compassion by slashing his cloak in half and sharing it with a beggar. Dick Shepherd, who was an army chaplain and then the vicar of St Martin's during the First World War, followed the saint's example by offering food and shelter to weary soldiers returning from the trenches. The crypt became an air raid shelter during both world wars, and the church became established as a centre for social work, offering support for unemployed ex-soldiers and help for people in distress. It still provides accommodation for rough sleepers through a project called The Connection, which cares for around 7,500 people each year. The door is always open to the homeless, who are welcome to rest in the church. St. Martin's has a strong musical tradition and became renowned for Baroque and early music through the concerts broadcast during the war by the BBC. Later, the world-famous Academy of St. Martin in the Fields was formed by Sir Neville Mariner. People still flock to the free lunchtime concerts of classical music, the candlelit concerts in the evenings, and jazz in the crypt. During the Second World War, my uncle founded the St. Martin Singers, formed from a group of fire watchers who sang together between stints of duty on the church roof. This group still exists, and the Singers hold regular concerts in aid of UK charities. The restoration project has made St. Martin's more welcoming than ever. A glass pavilion to the left of the building provides access by stairs and lift to underground spaces, lit by natural light flooding down from a circular glass light well. There's a spacious new foyer and shop, and the crypt houses a cafe serving home-cooked food. A wide corridor leads to a Chinese community centre, and also to the simple Dick Shepherd Chapel, a quiet place of reflection at the heart of the busy city. If you visit, there's an audio guide of the church, available from the shop in the crypt, that's been especially prepared for blind or partially sighted visitors, and includes more detailed description. Part of a poem by Andrew Motion can be found inscribed on the handrail around the top of the circular lightwell in Church Walk. It was written in 2006, and it reads, "Now, traveller, whose journey passes through tall courts of shifting light and trudging crowds, continually worn down but always new, your stepping inwards from the air to earth winds round itself to meet the open sky, so vanishing becomes a second birth. Farewell, return. Farewell, return again. Here home and elsewhere share one mystery. Here love and conscience sing the same refrain. Here time leaps up and strikes eternity."